Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Well, guys, we woke up Monday morning and life on top of the AFC is not the same as it was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming. I have to give you credit, Freddie. You chastised me for not taking the Eagles seriously enough, and you were right.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I can't blame the refs this game. because maybe there were some calls we hear people talking about, but this was a meltdown by the Patriots. And obviously, they rebounded, but it was too late.
Yeah, it was much too late. And you're talking about rebound. Usually they rebound from one loss. And a post-Thanksgiving losing streak is borderline unprecedented. It's back to 2002 yeah. is how long we've been without one of those. But it's just nothing is working right now. You have the injuries. And then, you know, Tom Brady doesn't have his targets. And he's getting pressured, banged around. It's just there's a lot of kind of clawing to find a new identity or new scheme late in the year, and you don't usually see that in New England.
Yeah, when things are going well, generally this team plays complementary football unlike any other. And on Sunday, what you saw was all three phases at different times contributing to the loss. Offensively, special teams was the biggest culprit, obviously, with the punt return, the block punt, the onside kick stuff. But, you know, offensively, they didn't move the ball. They couldn't protect Tom Brady. They couldn't convert on third downs. And then defensively, even though they played a really strong game overall and didn't allow many points, situationally, when they needed stops, they couldn't get them. The couple goal-to-goal situations, third downs from deep in the red zone, two touchdown passes for Bradford, and then the big third and 11 conversion at the end when the Patriots had one final chance. So complimentary. Everything, you know, sort of contributed to this loss.
But I think going forward, you know, these last four games, the main thing we have to focus on is the offense. And we've got a couple things going on right now. We've got the play of the offensive line, not the health, the play of the offensive line and the health of the targets all coming into one, which is, you know, creating bad situations for Tom Brady, and they're not able to convert on third down like they have in the past. They can't run the ball effectively when they need to. So that's, to me, forget about, I think the special team stuff, they're going to fix. They're going to fix that. And I think defense is what it is. But I think offense is where they made their bread and butter, and that's, I think, what they need to figure out going forward.
Yeah, this is an offensive-led team, a Tom Brady-led team, a passing game-led team. It's pass first, and right now the passing game just isn't very good. You know, some of that is the complementary weapons not being able to step up. Brandon LaFell not being able to ascend to a more critical role in the passing game. You know, James White not getting the opportunity to ascend until sort of garbage time, comeback, anything, throw it all out there. But I do think the biggest issue is the offensive line protecting Tom Brady because he's not comfortable. And when he's not comfortable, he's completed 50% of his passes the last four games. Third down conversions.
That's like 50% drop off.
Right. I mean, he usually rolls out of bed and converts 60, 65% of his passes. Good games, it's up 72, 75. It's nothing is easy right now. It's all difficult. And then from Josh McDaniel's perspective, it's almost like they're not comfortable running a typical Patriots offense, so they're trying new things, trick plays, bombs, you know, a lot of deep balls the last couple weeks. That's not the Patriots offense, but right now, what is the Patriots offense is the question I don't know that anybody can answer.
Did we see a little glimmer of hope? I know it was kind of garbage time or a comeback time, but with James White and maybe using him a little bit more often earlier in the game?
Yeah, I have, and I keep saying the same thing. I have yet to see James White get an opportunity to do something and say, oh, well, he can't do that. That's why they don't use him in that sort of a role. Every time he gets a chance, he's not Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis was doing it in a different way where he was as dynamic and electric as anybody that I've seen in that kind of a role. James White was more like Shane Vereen. He's a capable pass catcher. He can run the ball out of the backfield a little bit, although I don't think that's what he does best.
No.
But he does make that guy miss in the open field, generally. He'll get a little pass in the flat, turn, and he'll make a move on a linebacker and get 7-10 extra yards every time they give him the ball. But for some reason, he hasn't really gotten that many opportunities. Maybe this second half will be the springboard for him going forward.
They need to do that to kind of spread out the offense a little bit and keep the defense a little bit more honest.
You know, they weren't going to White early. You don't have Gronkowski. You've got Chandler still struggling to be consistent. You know, he catches a touchdown, but it isn't consistent enough. It's not something where Brady goes, okay, after I'm Amendola, that's what I have to turn to. That second thing just isn't there right now.
And it gets back to your point about Tom. He just doesn't really look comfortable with the protection, with the weapons. And Chandler is a guy I think that he's not comfortable with. And, you know, we talked about some of the bad plays offensively, the interception that Malcolm Jenkins has that he returns. You know, you go back and look at that play, and Chandler had beaten his man. I think he beat Kiko Alonso by the pylon. But yet Tom's not looking.
Well, that gets back to the time he had. Maybe he didn't think he had enough time to scan the field.
Yeah, and I'm not criticizing him because I got hit 30-something times in a three-week span and sacked three times 2 weeks in a row, I'd probably be feeling the pressure and sore and jumpy.
Maybe he was thinking ahead to J.J. Watt.
Patriots don't lose two in a row very often, so when they do, you have to wonder why. And I'm going to start off this week talking about Brandon LaFell. He's a guy that I thought Tom Brady really relied upon a lot last season. He got a lot of drives started, a lot of slants, a lot of back shoulder fades on the sideline. But this year, it just hasn't really happened for him. They've been trying to get the ball deep down the field to him a lot. I don't think that's conducive to his skill set necessarily, and I think he has struggled catching the football. So right now, the Patriots' offense is struggling on third down, and one of the major reasons for that is LaFell is struggling to catch the football. Now, sticking with that offensive theme, you got to look at LeGarrette Blount as well. The Patriots' running game has really been lacking in recent weeks, and Blount is really struggling to get it going. I know that he is a guy that tends to have some negative runs, and it's not always about the pretty plays in between the big runs, but he right now is not getting any big plays in the running game. The Patriots' running game has been stuck in neutral, and I thought they got away from it a little bit because I thought early on against Philadelphia, they actually had some success with Blount. Even though he made a lot of those yards on his own, he was averaging more than 4 yards a carry, and yet the Patriots got away from him. So they need a little bit more from this running game. Right now, they're searching for answers, and Blount hasn't really provided any. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the head coach. Yes, Bill Belichick, the best coach in football. I don't think he's been at his best in the last couple of weeks. We got a lot of talk during the course of the week about that onside kick, the mortar kick, as he called it. I don't think that was a really good time to try something like that. I thought at 14-0, the Patriots were in full control of that game. The Eagles wanted to quit, and I think Belichick gave them life. I think they looked on the sideline and thought that maybe the Patriots were trying to embarrass them a little bit, and I thought they lit a fire under Philadelphia, and unfortunately, the Patriots couldn't put it out. I also thought at the end of the first half, they couldn't decide whether they wanted to go after some points or be conservative. They ran the ball a couple of times, then they called timeout, then they're throwing the ball, then they're running it again. Ultimately, it all ended with the Patriots being forced to punt in the waning seconds. We all know what happened. It ended up getting blocked for a touchdown. So I think these decisions that Belichick has made have really backfired, and at a time when the offense hasn't been as productive, they've really hurt the team.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
I've got a great locker room of guys that are more than willing to help me out and accommodate the things that help me be a better football player.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Images of the week from, I'd say, a stunning loss to the Eagles. The Patriots were certainly in a giving mood. Here's the big interception that Brady threw in the end zone. Of course, there was the block punt. And Brady's first interception, this, of course, is the one intended for Danny Amendola that the Eagles took to the house.
Player's perspective. Brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Joining me now in the Patriots locker room, defensive lineman Akeem Hicks. And Akeem, first I want to just ask you about settling in here. You know, you weren't here in the summer, in the offseason, trade. How has it gone kind of getting acclimated on and off the field?
It's been going really good. You know, we've got a great locker room of guys that are more than willing to help me out and accommodate the things that help me be a better football player. And so it's an awesome experience and a transition, but nonetheless, it's been good.
I know you have to be prepared for it when you're a professional athlete, but as just a human being, is it a little unnerving or strange to be, boom, all of a sudden you go from being a Saint to a Patriot in an afternoon?
It's different. Well, it's my first time ever going through the process. So being in New Orleans for the first 3 years of my career and then midway or a quarter of the way through the season to now be a New England Patriot, you know, it's been a transition, like I said, but I've embraced it, and it's been a group effort. It's been guys that's been able to help me along and make sure that I knew where I was going and things that I needed to do to be a team member.
In terms of on the field, you guys have sort of been up and down on run defense. You had a real strong stretch. It's been a little bit down lately. How have you fit in there? You guys have been rotating on the defensive line. How do you feel like that's been coming about in the last month or so?
I think that there are always things to improve, and there's always things that we can get better at, and I think that's the process that we're taking, and we're going to go for that and try to improve on it.
For you personally, you were a third-round pick out of Regina,
in Canada, and not necessarily a football factory, not a name that fans might be familiar with. What was it like playing in Canada and going to college in Canada?
It was a different experience. It was a kind of the same thing here. I was definitely embraced and brought along and shown the ropes in a different region, something I wasn't familiar with. And it's a game of being able to move into a different position and being able to get your motor going wherever you're at. Let's put it that way.
And were you, was it rare to have an American playing up there, or were you one of a few, or are there a lot of guys?
I was the only one. I was the only American on the team. So, and throughout the CIS, I couldn't say there was many more. So,
Akeem Hicks joining us. He's getting acclimated to his surroundings in Foxborough and getting ready for the Texans. If you're talking about the Houston Texans, you are obviously talking about J.J. Watt, leading the NFL with 13.5 sacks. This is a top 10 pass rush in terms of sacks per pass play. And guess what? Patriots pass protection has struggled in recent weeks. Tom Brady has been sacked 3+ times in 3 of the last 4 games, hit nearly 36 times in the last 3 weeks. Protect Brady, and that means you, Marcus Cannon, in the right side of that offensive line against J.J. Watt, best defensive player in the game. Sticking with the offense for the Patriots against that Texans defense, Houston, number one third down defense in football. Romeo Crennel, J.J. Watt and company getting the job done on the money down. Patriots not so much as of late. Used to be the number one offense in football in terms of third down production. Not anymore. Below 50% 4 straight games. And that starts on first down. Too many negative plays of late. Too many tackles for a loss in the running game. Too many sacks. If you want to win on third down against a good defense, you got to win on first and second down. Looking now at the Texans' offense, questions at quarterback but not wide receiver. DeAndre Hopkins' breakout third season, coming up on 100 catches, already over 1,100 yards, already 10 touchdowns, making big plays. 6'1", 220, can get down the field, also can move the chains, leads the league in first downs on the season. Malcolm Butler, it might be you. Safeties, you're going to help out. If the Texans are going to make plays through the air, Hopkins will be involved.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
They can't go to a Super Bowl when they don't have a bye. It's history. It's simple. Very simple.
That's only because they haven't had very many chances to do that, because they're so good, they always get a bye.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
To commemorate the 74th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, Fox Sports decided to broadcast its NFL pregame show on location last Sunday. You know the show I'm talking about, the one that blends superficial football analysis with slapstick. That's right, they thought yucking it up at the site where over 1,000 men and women lost their lives in a sneak attack was somehow appropriate. Where will they go next? A World War II concentration camp? Maybe the site of 9/11? Pearl Harbor is no less a solemn memorial, the final resting place of lost American souls, and a reminder of how brutal humans can be to each other. The only difference is that Pearl Harbor is located in Hawaii and makes a great background for a TV show. Some might have found it a nice gesture, not me. A reminder of one of our saddest chapters in history is not the place for a football hype show, no matter what the temperature is outside. So Fox, I hope your ratings were worth the phony patriotism and disrespect you put on display. Pearl Harbor is a place to reflect, not a place to give out fantasy football advice.
I'm going to start my trip around the NFL this week, and I'm going to look at the one team in the entire league that has been eliminated from the postseason. You guessed it. It's the Cleveland Browns. No secret why. Since they came back in 1999, 24 different quarterbacks. They have completely bungled this situation in the current regime with Mike Pettine and Johnny Manziel. They haven't been able to decide who they want to play. Manziel keeps getting in trouble. Pettine doesn't know how to handle it. The front office seems to want Manziel to play. Maybe they're trying to drum up some trade value, but it's a mess. And you know what? It's going to lead to the same thing it always leads to in Cleveland. They're going to change the coach. Who knows about the GM? Who knows about the quarterback? But I do know this. Cleveland is a mess.
Loyal Comcast SportsNet viewers enjoyed a day of high school football last Saturday. The Super Bowls from right here at Gillette Stadium. And in the Division III battle between Dartmouth and Melrose, late in the second quarter, there was a controversial play on the goal line. Fullback caught the ball, turned upfield. He had 2 feet down. He tucked the ball away, and then he got hit. Ball bounced out. Boom. Incomplete pass. And I'm watching, and I'm thinking to myself, That sure looked like a catch. But did he have 2 feet down? Did he make a football move? Did he tuck it away? And why was I thinking that? I was thinking that because of the National Football League's rules. They have ruined catching the football and watching people catch the football for all of us. So congratulations, Coach White and the Dartmouth Indians, back-to-back Super Bowl titles. And congratulations, NFL. You have ruined watching people catch the football for the entire world. Football at all levels.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Thanks to Sunday's loss to the Eagles, the Patriots are now mixed up in a dogfight for the top two seeds in the AFC. Paul Perillo, do they need to get one of those two seeds?
Now I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell my kids, Will and TJ. There's a difference between want and need.
And absolutely, the Patriots need
the
one
Patriots
of the top two seeds.
Want, no question, they want to buy, but they don't need it. They're too good. They're too good to have it, everything set up perfectly for them to win. To me, it's much more about health. And right now, the reason why we're even having this conversation is because Gronk and Edelman haven't been part of the equation the last couple of weeks. I have every indication to think that that will be the case. They will be on the field in January. And as long as that's the case, I don't want to play wild card weekend, but they can, and they can survive.
Trick question. Who's the best quarterback coach duo in the history of the NFL?
That's not really a trick question, Andy. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
How many times have they gone to the Super Bowl without having a bye?
Just because it has never happened doesn't mean
so
it can't.
So we ignore history now, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
They've been really good over the course of their history. Really good almost every year.
Such illustrious coaches as John Harbaugh and Tom Coughlin can do it.
I'm not talking about other
teams.
And by the way, those are not illustrious coaches.
Well, that's my point.
They fall. The bottom line is.
So they're better than Bill Belichick.
The bottom line is the Patriots are stumbling here late. They're losing seeding. And when you do that, you set yourself up for failure in the postseason. This team has been good forever, but they only win the Super Bowl. They only go to the Super Bowl when they get the bye. That is
so you can only win in the postseason when you're playing great going into the postseason?
Well, you need to be playing good football heading into the postseason.
Not always.
You do. And
not
if you're
always.
Not, that's how you end up getting
if you're
not
healthy.
Getting a bye.
If you're healthy
you end up playing
going into
an extra
postseason,
game. And it
that's
is
how you have
help.
Success.
You're right. It's a big part of it. But not just the way you're talking. Not just Gronkowski and Edelman, the guys who are already resting and sitting out and getting healthy. I'm talking about the health of random offensive linemen, random
sure.
defensive linemen.
If more injuries
linebackers
happen, Andy, we
got,
might,
no, not injuries.
We might
wear and tear, being
right.
banged up,
and if
being
that
ready
happens,
to go.
We might revisit this in
How
a couple weeks.
How about your quarterback,
but
who's
right
getting
now,
hit a lot? Wouldn't
you know
he like a nice week
I'll
off?
I'll go on
to
the limb and I'll do something I'd never done. I'll give you the win if Tom Brady doesn't play in the playoffs.
I guarantee
they
he's going to play.
They can't win without a bye if Tom Brady's not there.
You know what they can't do? Because they've proven they can't do it so far. They can't go to a Super Bowl when they don't have a bye. It's history. It's simple. Very simple.
That's only because
six
they haven't
Bowls,
had very many chances
trips,
to do that because they're
buys.
So good, they always get a bye.
No, because you know what they prove when they don't get the bye? They're not that good. And that's what this will prove once again. Maybe they're not quite as good as we think they are. Maybe they're struggling down the stretch in December, right?
You give me a healthy Gronk, a healthy Edelman, I'll take the Patriots' chances on Wild Card Weekend all the way through.
Yeah, I won't because they don't have four games to glory. It's three games to glory, and that's what it needs to be once again.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows, a whole new way to attack winter. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, guys, it's time for questions, but first, it's the Wilson Hart Power Index, and geez, I'm kind of afraid to look this week.
You should be afraid because the number one team is a new team. The Cincinnati Bengals have moved into the top spot. Your Patriots, Fred, two straight losses, have dropped to number four.
Panthers can't get up there.
The Panthers are still number three. That does not bother me. Statistically, outside of the, you know, the win-loss column,
right.
They're not an overly impressive football team. They are doing things
not impressive.
Anti the modern football statistical way.
They're ahead of Buffalo now.
Can you imagine if the Patriots 12-0 when somebody said they weren't impressive?
Number two is the Arizona Cardinals. You have Bengals, Cardinals, Panthers, Patriots.
Okay, you can get all that on Patriots.com.
Cool.
All right, let's get to our first question. It comes from David Beckett, and he's worried about the offensive line. He's wondering, and he thinks, that it looked better when David Andrews was at center. Is there any thought of bringing him back and putting him back at center?
I don't think so. I don't think the issues have really been at the center position. You know, I think all five have struggled at times. But I think the edges, the tackles, are where you're having your biggest issues. And maybe Brian Stork is working himself into midseason form. Maybe he's not as good as he was to end last year.
But I still think he's a more skilled player and probably a better option than David Andrews. I know David Andrews was undefeated, and now Brian Stork has a couple losses on his resume. But I don't think that's the problem or the solution.
Yeah, and he's got some young guys next to him, Stork. So there's a lot of things going on right now.
And they continue to rotate a little bit with the young guys. And now the Klein injury, there's a lot still going on there. But to me, the tackles need to get better before.
Well, speaking of tackles, Phil Solera writes in. He's wondering if it would be better to move Vollmer back to his natural right tackle position and Cannon over to left tackle.
I don't. I think that Vollmer is your best offensive lineman, so I would keep him on the left side. Now, that said, I'm not blind. I saw that he struggled badly, I thought, against Philadelphia on Sunday. I still think that Cannon, you know, and it might be partly due to the injury that he had to his toe. Some of the reports that we read a couple of weeks ago were that he was having problems putting weight on that side, and that's why the move back to the right side. Because if you remember, Freddie, when he came back initially, they had him on the left side again. And they moved him back over to the right. I think that's the better situation. I don't like the idea of Cannon on the blind side. Vollmer's got to get better. You know, he's one of the guys that they rely on. He's healthy. He's back out there. He needs to play better. But to me, he's the best offensive lineman. Keep him on the left side.
Okay. And finally, Ludovic Boisseau from Versailles, France.
Nailed it.
Writes in, my opinion about this loss versus the Eagles is that it's a good loss.
Oh.
It will help the players and coaches reconsider their true level and work. Do your job, we'll be back, and the team should rebound from that.
So that's 2 weeks in a row, right? Oh. Good losses. You got the weight of the undefeated season off your back in Denver, and then another good loss the next week.
Yeah, I could have made the argument for you last week. Matter of fact, I did with you, but not this one. This is a bad loss in every way. Special teams really let you down. I thought they had sort of a lack of intensity and focus once they got ahead 14-0. The injuries are a problem, no question about it. That's affecting everything, but this is not one I would put in the good loss category.
Yes. How many good losses are you allowed to have?
You lost at home to a bad football team.
Well, certainly when you were looking forward to the remainder of the season, this was one, okay, they'll chalk this one up.
Yes.
And we'll worry about the others. Now we have to really worry about the others.
Chalking the Eagles one up in the second quarter.
So were the Patriots when they did the mortar kick. All right, thanks for your questions. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.